Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to another episode of our continuing series, Inside Cosmetic Surgery. Our special guest today is Dr. Mark Cohen, an ophthalmic plastic surgeon from the Philadelphia area, with private practice in the Philadelphia area. Hi, Dr. Cohen. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Sharon?
I'm great. Thank you. Well, today's topic is forehead rejuvenation, and let's just start out by asking, what is forehead rejuvenation exactly?
Well, forehead rejuvenation is anything that would be included in things that make your forehead and eyebrows look younger and more attractive. And that really includes somewhat the eyelids also, because the eyebrows and the eyelids are now considered to be one cosmetic unit. So it's really the area from your upper eyelid up to your hairline, and taking care of wrinkles and eyebrow position and having the fullness and the natural curves that we'd like to see in a young, attractive forehead.
Okay. Well, what about the dermal fillers that are on the market? I mean, how do they play into the forehead rejuvenation?
Well, we've learned over time that faces tend to deflate rather than just fall. We used to think of things two-dimensionally, that foreheads and the rest of our faces fell downward, but now we could think of them as sinking inward. Fillers add volume, so we can reinflate the eyebrows and parts of the forehead to make them look like they did when they were younger.
Okay. So the fillers play a very important role in the rejuvenation process. Is that all there is to it, just the fillers?
Well, we treat foreheads with fillers. We also treat with neuromodulators, which are things like Botox Cosmetic, Dysport, and Xeomin. And those help to reposition the eyebrows and shape the eyebrows. And then we do things to treat the skin of the forehead like we do in other places of the face, things like skin resurfacing with various lasers or with topical creams to make the skin look younger and more attractive.
Now, what about fat transfer? How does that play into this?
Well, fat transfer is really another type of a filler. It adds volume. And it's very popular among some surgeons and less popular among other surgeons. Fat transfer has the benefits of being possibly more permanent, which is an advantage. Some of the disadvantages are that it's much more of a surgical procedure. There's more bruising afterwards and more of a downtime. It's done generally in an operating room as opposed to fillers, the other type of fillers I'm talking about, which are done in an office setting. Also, fat does not always last permanently, and sometimes when it does not last, it resorbs, it dissolves in an uneven way at times. And if that happens, it can leave you with some irregularities, which are not always easy to repair. But there are many surgeons who believe very much in fat transfer, and certainly some of them get very good results.
Right. Now, what is the difference between forehead rejuvenation and the traditional brow lift?
So a brow lift is really an upper facelift. It involves taking the forehead and mostly the eyebrows and raising them to a higher position. And that's a form of rejuvenation. Also, it's just a surgical rejuvenation that lifts the brows. The approach we tend to take now is to feel that generally eyebrows do not fall a lot. And in many patients, they don't fall at all as they get older. They just sort of look like they have fallen because they have deflated. Mm-hmm. There's less fat beneath the brows. And because of that, because the curves of youth are not there, it gives the illusion that the brows are lower than they actually are. So we often add volume underneath the brows in order to return those natural curves rather than doing a surgical lift, which just makes the brows higher and often puts the brows in an unnaturally high position.
So when did you shift to more forehead rejuvenation versus the traditional brow lift?
Well, it was sort of a gradual transition. Forehead lifts became very popular in the 80s and in the 90s. And in the 90s, Botox Cosmetic came along. So we started doing some rejuvenation with Botox and lifting of the brow somewhat with that. And then in the mid-2000s, around 2004, hyaluronic fillers became available. And that was sort of an ideal way to add volume to the forehead. So it was sort of a gradual transition.
And I imagine it's better because it's less invasive.
Well, it's definitely less invasive. People that have rejuvenation with hyaluronic acid fillers tend to have it done as a lunchtime procedure, and they may have a little bit of swelling, and it's always possible they could have a bruise, but basically they're back to work either that day or the next day after they have it done.
So is that the general trend to move toward fillers versus the traditional lift?
Well, there certainly are some surgeons who still do a lot of forehead lifts, but there's a trend in general to minimally invasive treatments like fillers. Last year, about 85% of all cosmetic treatments done were minimally invasive rather than surgical procedures.
Yes. Well, and I can see why. I mean, it's so much better for the patient, I would think. But how often do patients come in and say that they want a forehead lift, and you talk them into fillers instead?
Well, basically, I don't think cosmetic surgeons should really, talk their patients into having a procedure that they don't want to have. So when someone comes in to see us, we evaluate them and listen to their concerns, and then we educate them as to the available options. As I mentioned before, most people don't realize this, but a young and attractive woman, let's say, tends to have very full and relatively low eyebrows. In fact, in youth, there's a small, smooth curve that goes from the eyebrow down all the way down to the eyelid crease. And brows tend to look lower as they deflate. So people sometimes think their brows have dropped, even though they haven't. So I often ask patients to bring in old photographs, and we compare them to their recent pictures. Most people's eyebrows are not significantly lower than they were years ago. They're just flatter. And when people realize that, they often like the idea of brow filling rather than brow lifting.
So once you present the less invasive option, do they usually choose to do that instead?
They often choose to do that. Often it starts with the idea of, well, let's give that a try because it's less invasive and it doesn't tend to be permanent. So we'll give that a try, and then they feel as if they have the option to later have a surgical treatment if they want to, but usually it doesn't get come to that.
Right. So how often does it happen? How often do they come back and say, this is great, but I want the lift?
It's pretty rare in our practice, I would say. I would say most people feel that they get a nice natural rejuvenation with things like fillers and neuromodulators, and they do not tend to have surgery.
Okay. So what are the potential risks and side effects of forehead rejuvenation?
Well, basically, anytime there's anything with injections, there's always a chance of bruising and swelling, and that can occur with any treatment. That's a very minor side effect. It's almost hard to call that a side effect, but it certainly can happen. You can get lumps and bumps with hyaluronic acid fillers or with any type of filler. But these, fortunately, if you're using fillers, particularly hyaluronic acid fillers, they're very easy to correct. And we can talk about that a little bit if you'd like. There are some more serious side effects, which are extremely rare, things like scarring and infection, and even the possibility of visual loss when you're having treatments that close to the eye.
Right. Now, could you name some of those fillers that you were talking about? Is that Juvederm and
Right.
Restylane and
The fillers that we prefer are the hyaluronic acid fillers, and of those, the ones that we use are the Juvederm family of fillers and the Restylane family of fillers.
okay. All right. Now, and so what are the limitations of using fillers versus the traditional brow lift?
Well, basically, they're not permanent. Of course, brow lifts are not really permanent either, but they last a lot longer than fillers do. However, So patients who get fillers tend to come in for repeat treatments. However, with hyaluronic acid fillers, they tend to last longer than most people think. In the forehead area, it's not unusual for fillers to last a year or even longer, and that's on the initial treatment. And on repeat treatments, they last even longer. There are some patients that are just sort of born with very, very low eyebrows. That's just sort of their look. And if they don't like that and they want their brows to look physically higher, and that's really what their problem is, then a forehead lift is better for them than fillers.
Okay. Now, with forehead rejuvenation, would you say that it affects a certain age group or a particular gender?
Well, it's certainly both men and women have brow rejuvenation, but like almost all cosmetic procedures, it's much more common in women than in men. And like most cosmetic procedures, the most popular age groups are in the sort of 40 to 65-year age group.
Yes. I noticed that. Most of the surgeries tend to be focused toward women. But more and more men are getting cosmetic surgery these days, correct?
There's no question. There's plenty of men who have cosmetic surgery. They feel they would like it for career advancement or for social reasons. And there's certainly, it's not unusual for men to have cosmetic surgery, but in terms of the overall statistics, it's certainly more common in women than men.
Right. Now, do you have any cases where someone comes in for the forehead rejuvenation, and then they'll say, you know, now my lower face needs some work? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, quite commonly. Not because having one thing done makes it look more necessary to have other parts of your face done, but it's rather sort of getting your toe in the water. You've tried it, and you found it to be a pleasant experience. You like the fact that you look better, and you didn't find it to be difficult to do. So people are then interested in exploring other avenues of looking better, just like they did with their forehead. And it works both directions, of course. It works on that. Some people come in with lower face questions, and then later on have brow rejuvenation, or the other way around.
Now, you specialize in forehead rejuvenation, or do you specialize in the face?
Well, I specialize in both, really anything to do with the face. I'm board certified in cosmetic surgery as well as in ophthalmology.
Ophthalmology. So I would imagine that anything involving the eyes that someone would have to be specialized, right? Because you have to be very careful around the eyes, correct?
Well, I mean, there certainly are very good cosmetic surgeons of different specialties who do eyelid surgery, but we focus on that particularly because of our background in ophthalmology, yes.
Right. Now, do you have any patient stories you'd like to share? No names, of course, but just examples of success stories?
Boy, I'm not sure I can think of a specific story. I mean, I think that there are many patients that have rejuvenation, and they often have their surgery and are delighted with the results. And the most successful ones, people who look at them don't realize that anything specific was done. They just feel as if they look like they've had a vacation, or they've changed their hairdo, or have new type of glasses.
Right.
And those are the people that we're the most excited about in terms of the results, because we like people to look like nothing was done, but just
exactly.
To look better.
Right. Right. If it's obvious that something was done, then that wasn't the...
That's not good cosmetic surgery.
Exactly. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about forehead rejuvenation, or but perhaps tell us about your practice, your website?
Well, we're in practice in the Philadelphia area, in the suburbs of New Jersey, and in the main line in Philadelphia. Our website is www.cosmetic-eyes.com, and you can read more about us there if you'd like.
Cosmetic Eyes. And you're in practice with your wife, correct?
I'm in practice with my wife. The two of us both are oculoplastic surgeons, and we have a mom-and-pop practice.
Excellent. And you're also a member of the AACS?
Absolutely, and I'm a proud member of the AACS. We think it's a wonderful organization. It promotes there are people from many different specialties, all of whom are interested in cosmetic surgery, and we all learn from each other. And it's a wonderful avenue for the advancement of cosmetic surgery.
And AACS stands for
the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery.
Thank you. This has been great, and really appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you also.